In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Christ has risen. Christos Anesti. We continue to use that greetings to the 50 days, as you probably noticed already. Just a good reminder all the time during this time that we are in the joyful 50 days of the resurrection, celebrating resurrection all the time. As we said before, so we've been kind of like all over the place in the last studies. We had the study of Pauline epistles. We went to the Old Testament. We had an overview of Isaiah, which is kind of interesting also. Before that, we were in Peter. So we'll go back again to what we call the Catholic epistles, the general epistles, which are the epistles of Peter, John, and Jude. So these are kind of they are general because they are not specifically for a person, although second and third John can be also understood in a different way, that they are for special people. But it's a good shift to go on with more different style, different message, while it's still the same message. It's all still the good news about the Lord and how that can be applicable to us all. Especially again, I think, you know, not quite sure if you know or not or aware of not, but the Catholic Orthodox Church is what we call focused very much on the Johannine Gospel, so the teaching of John, you know, kind of the faith and the theology and the events. Also, we stick more to the Johannine teaching more. So it's kind of interesting also to see this. You'll see more and more that we are reading more of John, especially the Gospels and definitely the epistles during the 50 days also. If you've been with us also in the especially Good Friday, the first hour, we read all the sections and all the passages of the Paraclete, of the Holy Spirit, in the first hour of Good Friday, kind of setting up and getting us ready for what will happen and that and the promise of the Lord of sending us the Holy Spirit. So with all those things, we'll start kind of as we do always, kind of like give today kind of introduction about the epistle of Saint John, the first epistle of Saint John, and then as we go as slow as we can, as fast as we can, you know, just we'll just go with the text itself and try to study it in a different way, because again, you know, my idea always that you know, there are too many Bible studies out there, but we need to kind of take our time and dig a little bit deeper and to understand again what's there and how we can maybe understand it from the linguistic, from the language, from the original, from the church fathers, kind of like a different way of studying. So brings us again to First John. Definitely, you know, there is no arguments about who is the author, which is John the Beloved himself, and probably one of the parts of the gospel that there is no arguments about it at all, as far as no who wrote it or anything like that. But what's important also is the why, you know, as we always say, like why it was written, why anything written, as we said with the Pauline epistles, that always the key to understand the epistle is understanding why it was written, right? So we know that there's an issue in Corinth, then, you know, we can understand actually the text as he is, St. Paul is addressing those issues one by one, so you can make it make sense. As we're studying Peter 1 and 2, we knew also what was the purpose, what is the reason, and that gives us a clue of, you know, the language, the text, the direction, the points, and everything. Same thing also with Saint John also. But before we get there, you know, one of the things that really kind of, you know, it brings itself up to the surface always, especially reading First John, is the question of what is real and how do I know? How do I know? Right? How do I know that tomorrow is Sunday? Right? How do I know that year so and so people went on the moon? Right? Is this true or not? Is it real and true that, you know, the galaxy consists of so and so and so? Is it real and true that planet Earth is the only planet that has life? Right? So you always have that question, always have that kind of like a challenge, whether things are really, you know, I can really prove that or not. One of the very, 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 actually as simple as it is, but very, very challenging question is our eternity. Do we really know and believe that we have eternal life or not? And becomes really a very, very like, okay, well, you can get, you know, several answers, right? You can get the very, very, very Western mindset. We are all saved and we are all, you know, and then you can get that skeptical, like, I really don't know, right? And you can get like, you know what, you know, how good am I in order to be able to really have that reassurance that I have eternity, right? And you can see this language and this challenge all over First John, right? From the get-going, from the beginning, right? As you will see, from the beginning, introducing himself and introducing Christ, the one that he's what seen, touched, heard, right? Which brings a question also, like, well, that's who you are, but for me, that's not me, right? Like you literally seen, walked, touched, heard, witnessed, but for all of us, so what makes me sure about that? Right? So it is a very, very deep letter in order to actually get to that answer of that question, do I really know it is real or not? The question of reality, reality. And one of the things I remember when we were talking about the theme of the year as the church, right? And we said, what? Remember that verse? What was the reference of the verse, first of all? Anybody remember? If you have the bookmark, you can cheat right away. Timothy, what? Which one? First or second Timothy? First Timothy chapter. I'm gonna take it from you step by step. On your way out, make sure to grab a bookmark, right? We're in what, in May now, so 5 months since we started the theme of the church, right? So it's good to remind, because that is the reason again. Good to remind ourselves. 5:13, right? We're house of the living God, the pillar of what? And truth. Right, so I remember when we were discussing that the theme on the mission, and we're talking about the truth that, you know, the church and the house of the Lord is real, right? It's not just something that you're imagining, it is real, which lined up very, very well again with what we're going to study here, that is, this is real, right? Because if not, then there's something wrong. If we're just going with the flow and with the motions, with the emotions, with everything, and we're not really quite sure if this is real or not, then there is an issue. Why? Because if this is not real, we're not able to take what we have here and do what with it. Live it. Live it. Not even preach it. Live it outside. Right? And how often we hear this? Well, you know what? You know, I like, you know, Sunday, here I am, I'm doing this and this and that, but you know what? In the world or at my work or with my family or it's a totally what? Different life. So that question becomes again very, very interesting. The question of reality. Is our faith real or not? Something that I can hold on to and take it with me and live it or not? Or not. So all those things, you can see it actually again in the epistle here as we talk about it, and as St. John kind of laid it out for us in a very, very, very important way. Another thing before I go on with you know, details and with points is the reason the epistle was written. Why was it written? From the text itself, from John himself. From John himself. Anybody, if you're familiar with the text, familiar with the epistle, kind of can share something? Well, if we look at chapter 1, verse 4, before we go on to what's before 4, just kind of like want to zoom in into something that's very, very important. Verse 4 says what? These things we write to you that you're maybe. So in the mind of St. John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he's writing these things for what reason? To bring what? Joy. What kind of joy? Full joy, right? So it's very, very clear from the beginning. These things we write to you that your joy may be full. Which is still very intriguing also, very challenging. You know, how can certain things that I will read, right? These things that I'm writing for you will bring full joy. How is that? What does that mean?
Abuna?
Yes, go ahead.
In the ESV, it says our joy, not your joy. Is there a difference?
We'll get to that when we actually go to the text itself and to the linguistic behind it. It's
okay.
Very important, very good observation. It's usually different translation of the text itself. But it actually makes more sense to our, because before that he talks about fellowship, that we all have fellowship together, right? But just this good point. Just keep it aside for now when we get really to analyze the language, kind of like go through it. We'll look at the origin of that. But it's important here to understand that he is saying that I'm writing those things for you that your joy may be full, right? Joy is something that's very important for all of us, right? Joy is something that we all try to reach, try to get. Whether we really get to that joy or we get to some kind of what? Happiness, right? I'm happy because I'm here. I'm happy because it's nice outside. I'm happy because Mother's Day is tomorrow and people or my kids should do something good to me, hopefully. Right? Or, you know, it's a graduation time or it's a wedding time or, right? But then all those things are not what? Full. They're not full, right? They come and go and then. But here, something that's very important based on that, that the joy may be full, right? Bringing the joy. How can we reach that joy? Throughout the text also, St. John points out several, mainly 3 points that we can, or 4 points. Through knowledge, we talk a lot about knowledge. Through living what we know. Through obedience and through fellowship. Four things that are important, and you'll get this more and more as we read it more and more, the idea of the outline of the whole epistle, right? Knowledge, obedience, living, and what did I say, the fourth one? Fellowship, right. Fellowship. Knowledge is very important. What that he's talking about this more and more, knowledge. What kind of knowledge? The knowledge that changes or the knowledge that just intellectual knowledge? Just got a text from somebody, an email from somebody, said like, for the first time reading certain things, now I can understand it by heart, not by my intellect. It's very, very, very deep. Very deep. There is a difference between just understanding things. Okay, things make sense. But that kind of knowledge is not what's transforming. Right? And we'll see St. John talking about this more and more. Right? Knowledge, obedience, living what we think, and then fellowship. But also, look at the text, also you see other parallel about three other things. Chapter 1 and 2 talking about the light. The light. Okay. Chapter 3 and 4 talking about love. So light, love, and then chapter 5 talks about how to live that life. So first two, just kind of overview of the whole thing. First two, light. You see the theme of light is repeating itself more and more. 3 and 4, love. Right? And then 5, that life that is based on the light and the love. So 3 L's, light, love, and life. Right? That kind of overview of the whole thing. Okay, coming to more details now. You know, the time that the epistle was written, St. John. We know that St. John is the longest one of the disciples who lived, right? And most of the scholars are saying the time that he wrote this is pretty much around the same time that he wrote the gospel, from somewhere from 85 to 90 after Christ. So let's stick with 90. 90 after Christ, meaning what? How many years after Christ? 70. Right? If we know the Lord died 33 on the cross, right? The spreading of Christianity was around that time. So we have what? 70 years, which are good chunk, good part that Christianity actually at that time what? Spread. Right? So we see that also as that is, you know, towards the end of the first century, but also there is something else that could be counted as against the idea of it's very close. You know, usually when something is new, it's very what during the beginning of anything. Something new in the beginning, the first, you know, day, 2, 3 months, it's always what? Not really difficult. If it's something new and exciting, it is what? It's still living, right? Exciting. So imagine again, 70 years after Christ. 17 after Christ, things start to do what? Right? To be more normal. Not the first fire of spreading Christianity, not the first fire of people who just knew the faith. Right? So things are starting to kind of die down, not being as excited as it is. Right? Right? So another reason here, one of the reasons also that St. John is talking about during his or on his first epistle, that he's trying to what? Reignite that fire again. Right? How? As we'll see through those two parallel things, right? The knowledge, the obedience, the life, the fellowship, and through the light and the love and the life. Kind of like all over the world, the board, as if I say that it are things that trying to get people still and continue to be excited about the faith. Right? Other things that are very important also here are the other teaching that start also to come up during the time, right? So First John is mainly also pointing out very, very important point, which is proving the incarnation of the Lord and he is the Son of God, right? Around the time also teaching that he is not God, or teaching about the incarnation, that against the incarnation, about the Lord coming in the flesh. So he's also doing something in that around that theme, which is bringing back and proving again that this is, he is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. So back again to the point of after 70 years, things can start to slow down. Think of this from the same point that we talked about earlier, which is reality, right? As things become more and more routine, the reality of it becomes what? It's a given thing, right? But the application of that reality in our lives doesn't become very strong as it was from just discovering something for the first time, right? Which is something that we can all fall into. Just being, you know, taking things and getting used to things, and then after a while, that first fire is not there. Right? And that's what, you know, the John himself, you know, in the Revelation talks about this, saying what, remember your first love, right? Remember your first love. And that brings us to another point, which is the one thing that will keep that fire going, keeps that excitement going, is the love. And we all know also what the tradition talks about Saint John when he was getting very, very old. And then his disciples will do what? They will carry him, put him from one place to another, from one church to another, in order to preach what the one thing that he was preaching, love each other. Right? He wasn't able to preach for a long time, wasn't able to talk, wasn't able to really, you know, as he was aging. But the one thing that he kept saying as his disciples were carrying him literally from place to another is, love one another. Love one another. And that's one thing that is very, very important to our faith and to our relationship with God. Is it ignited by the love or not? Or we get again into the routine of things, and then we start just to kind of go on based on what we should be doing, but that love, that first love, is not there anymore. So that's one thing. Again, as I said, you know, 3 and 4 talk more about that love, and we'll talk about it in much more details. One important thing, as I said earlier, is the reality of eternity. Do we have eternity or not? Is it ours or not? Is it something that we can really believe in, that we are given that eternity or not? In the last chapter of John, of 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, there is a very, very strong verse here that we need to kind of look at it and just highlight it and keep it again, so we can, you know, get to it when we get to that section. Again, remember in the first chapter, it says, I write, chapter 1, verse 4, I write these things to you that your joy may be. Here, look at this. I write. Now, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Read it again and think of it again. Okay? So here, towards the end of the letter, right? He said, okay, yes, I'm writing these things to you that you have joy, full of joy, but that full joy has to lead you to what? To know that we have eternal, all the confidence, right? Again, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. As simple as the text is, as deep, as rich as it is. I written these things to you, right? Who believe? You, not anybody, but you who are you who believe. And we'll talk more and more about what does it mean to believe, right? But to be, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know. So here, believe relates to what? Believe in the Lord or believe in eternal life? It's a grammar lesson now. Both? Okay. Who says something else? Online people, just feel free to jump in anytime. So again, the question is, if we read it here, and I bring it up from a different translation also, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So believe here relates to believe in the Lord or believe in eternal life or in both. And we'll discuss it more when we get to that time also with the actual original Greek, and see where what, like, the verb is actually addressing whom. But to kind of, like, you know, entertain your mind for now, as what do we think? What do you think? Owen, you want to say something? Believe in the name of the Son of God. Okay. So, all right.
Quick belief in the Lord would lead to the knowledge of the existence of their
And the
eternal
Lord
life.
will lead to the belief in
Eternal life.
eternal. Okay. Anything else? Any other thoughts? So believing in the Lord will lead to the belief in eternal life. But the core thing here is believing in whom? In the Lord. Right? And when he says believe in the Lord, what does that mean? Because what is the text saying? And who believe in the name of the Son of God. Remember, I said that there was teaching, contradicting, and challenging the idea that the Lord is the Son of God. Right? So he's saying if you believe in the incarnation, that God became flesh, you believe that there is eternal life. So what is the relationship now between eternal life and incarnation? The transformation of human nature, right? If you noticed, I'm looking for something I can find, as you can tell. Here it is. Those of you who were here this morning and yesterday. So in the liturgy, during the 50 days, there are two kinds or two different prayer of the fraction, which we pray at the end, right? One of them is the most common one, which we say, Christ is risen, and then the deacon says, truly he is risen. But there is another short version of the fraction that we pray. That's what I prayed yesterday morning and today morning also. And I want to read part of it. So this one is kind of, if you bring it up also, Albert, it's in the distribution, then the first fraction. Not the distribution, the faithful towards the end. Fraction to the Son for the resurrection of Christ, right? And the normal one that we say, like we'll say tomorrow, is the fraction to the Father for the resurrection. Again, just more of a liturgical teaching here, but it's very, very important to link everything together. And I tell you why. Okay? So from the name, there is again, yes, this one. This one is, it addresses whom? From the beginning, prior. So this one, that's why the title of that is Fraction to the Son for the Resurrection, right? And that's how it goes, as you can see. O Christ, our God, the high priest of the good things to come, King of the ages, the immortal, the everlasting, the Logos of God, who is above all. And then I'll skip and tell the passage that says something that's very, very important. I'll tell you why I'm saying this again as you were discussing that whole idea here. He lifted, go to he lifted. There you go. He lifted his saints up on high with him. With him where? On the cross, when he was on the cross. Okay? Because why I'm saying that? Because from the beginning it says you are the high priest. You are the high priest, right? High priest who's offering, right? So look at this. He lifted his saints up on high with him and gave them as gifts to his Father. Gifts here in the meaning of what? In the Coptic, in han doron, doron, which is in Greek, doron, which is a offering, korban. So not just gift like there's a he, no. He is. The text here says that he, as he went on the cross, he lifted up all the saints also with him to offer them with himself to whom? To the Father. It's very, very deep meaning, very deep meaning. So now we are being with whatever that means, that we are being offered on the cross with him, which is something that we're probably trying to escape. But see what happened here, that as he is the high priest and he went on the cross, he lifted up all of us also, all his saints, to offer them to the Father as an offering. Right? So here back again to my question, back to John again, that if you believe in the Son of God, you have eternal life. You believe in the eternal life. Because the work of the Son of God is what? It's to bring us to the Father. Yes. Yes.
The temple worship and the covering of sin with their offering, with their system of offering, did not really have anything on that.
No. No. No.
So they were dead in their sins.
Right.
They were covered.
Yes.
But that is what
of the divine nature.
Better person, more.
Right, yes, the transformation, the renewal, the new life. Yes. And that's why it's very, very important to understand this, right? Because a lot of times we still don't understand that. He died for our sins, right? Our sins are forgiven. Okay, and here we are, but what does that mean? He's offering us. And he's giving us what he has, as we were talking on Good Friday sermon, right? Took what is ours and offered. The same thing Athanasius used, by the way, if you remember the text, right? That he offered us, right? So all those things, you'll see that, again, John here is very, very deep into explaining those things, right? Explaining, again, what does it mean to live in the light? Explain again, what does it mean to live in the love? Explain again why it's important to know what kind of knowledge, right? Explaining again the understanding of how that light and how that love has to translate itself into life. And then it becomes reality. Back again to the first question of the reality. How do I know if this is real or not? Right? How do I know if my faith is real or not? When that faith is able to empower and change and transform me in order to be in the joy, regardless of everything else surrounding me. When that faith is really speaking to the heart, to the inner man, inner heart of the man, not from the outside, and something is being changed internally, right? And while I'm in the midst of the fire, the midst of the storm, the midst of everything, you see that, you know what, something is telling me, you know what, you are filled with joy. Those of you who attended, you know, the Bright Saturday, and you've heard all the prayers from the beginning, right? All the stories of people who were, you know, in that limbo, if I may say that, right? In lost, right? In the darkness, right? The three youth, Manasseh, the Hezekiah, Susanna, right? But then there is light. That is the knowledge. That's what St. John is talking about here. So it's beautiful to have that kind of foundation from the beginning, right? Because that will give us, will make it very, very, very relatable and relevant to us also. As you know, it's not just okay, well, John is just saying certain kind of things and certain, you know, theological things that are hard to understand. But no, he's talking about each one of us, about the life and the belief in Christ as the Son of God. Right? And that's why, you know, again, the faith is very, very important in understanding what really happened. What really happened, right? How, what does it mean that we offer, that he offered us with him to the Father as an offering, Qurban? By the way, the word Qurban in Arabic, or the same word in Hebrew, Qurban, coming from the root of the verb is qarab, which is yuqarrab, which brings closer, urayyib in Arabic. So the Qurban itself, the offering itself, is something that brings me what? Close. Let's understand, that's the actual meaning, the literal meaning of the word itself. Right? That's why it's called Qurban, because it makes me close, qareeb, qareeb. And if that's whatever I do that doesn't bring me close, then That's what the Lord said, well, just leave your qurban, right? Leave your sacrifice and go reconcile, because you cannot come closer to me while. So John again is touching again chapter 1 and 2 talking about the light, chapter 3 and 4 talking about the love, and chapter 5 talking about the life, right? And with all the understanding of that, what does that light mean? To walk in the light, what does it mean? To be in the light, what does it mean? What is the power and the impact and the effect of the light on me, right? How can, if I get out of the light, be able to come back again? Okay. Do I recognize that or not? That's why he says, you know, if you're saying that you are walking in the light and you hate your brother, then you're lying. Because light and darkness cannot be together in the same place. Okay. And then he talks about the love, right? As I said again, the one thing that always steers the heart is the love. Remembering and knowing how much God loved me personally. Okay. And how can I reciprocate that love? Okay. And that's where, again, you know, you come up with the whole idea of what and how the Holy Spirit actually pours that love in my heart, as St. Paul says in Romans 5:5, right? That the love of God is poured in my heart with the Holy Spirit, or by the Holy Spirit. And then because of that, he goes on to something that's very, very important. Also, we'll talk about it, which is testing the spirits. John talks about that, right? Examine the spirit, test the spirit. Why? Because not every spirit will help with the light and will help with the love. And that becomes actually the very, very good indication of that is God's spirit or spirit of the world. Right? Does it bring light? Does it bring love? And is it something that can live by it and still be able to offer that love and that life? Right? And if I understand God's love to me, then I have to do what to the other? Love the other, right? So again, if you say you love God and you don't love your brother, you are lying. And then finally, how you apply all this, how you apply all this. Kind of overall view of the letter itself, again written around 90, written by John the beloved himself. How we know that? The very close, you know, First John is one of those epistles also, or letters, that doesn't have any kind of like normal introduction as any letter. So some of the actually scholars say it sounds like it's part of the gospel, because it goes right away. The beginning of chapter one is what the one that you've seen, the one, right? So it doesn't have like St. Paul, for example, to the people of so and so and so, grace and love to you, I pray then, and then, you know, we have that first section and then the body, and then, so that doesn't, right? Right away. Who, which was from the beginning, which is very, very similar to his beginning of Gospel of St. John, right? Very, very. Also, the disciples of John, this is around again towards the end of the first century, like somebody like Polycarp, for example, his disciple who lived after him, also kind of acknowledge and testify that this is written by John himself, right? So that is the author, the time, again we said around year 90. The audience is written for the people, right? And most likely, again, the scholar said that at that time John was in Ephesus, right? So that's like when he wrote to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. Most likely these are the seven churches that he was also writing to and addressing. That's where he was before being in the exile later on. The purpose of that, again, as we said, to reignite that love again, to reaffirm again the idea and the understanding of that the Lord is God in the flesh, the idea of the incarnation, to bring back again the assurance of the reality of what we believe. Again, do we believe, really believe that we have eternal life? That's why that verse in 5:13 is very, very important. He who believe in the Son of God, that will have eternal life. So that is something that is that could be actually challenging for us. A lot of us sometimes like, I don't know if I have eternal life. I don't know if I'm good enough or good enough or not for eternity. Well, then the understanding of the incarnation is not quite clear, right? Because as he will see, and as we'll discuss it together, you know, my beloved, do not sin. But if you sin, what? The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from everything. So what do you mean by, you know, do not sin? Can anybody live without sin? No, what does it mean? We'll talk about this. But again, you see where all those things are kind of, you know, focusing on that idea of, you know what, let's realize that eternity is real and that it's for us and God has given it to us, especially during this time of the resurrection, of the joyful resurrection, because, you know, that is the time that we really put our faith into reality, right? Otherwise, all what we do during those 50 days will be just rituals and just things that, okay, well, it feels good, it sounds good, but you know what? I still don't know if that's for me or not. Right? He is the first one, right? The firstborn who entered into. That's why I love this icon. I love it. Right? And standing, you know, stepping over the doors of Hades and holding all the people, right? David, Solomon, Esther, Miriam, holding each one that's come all together and walk again. Why? Because he's the firstborn that he opened that. Why? Because he trampled death by death, as we said, right? Opened the gates of what? Brass. It's beautiful. Yeah. That's why we see it's very, very important to link all those things, the scripture, the liturgy, the text, the theology, all of it together, because it's a holistic understanding, right? When we pray in the doxology, for therefore we are rich. Really? I don't think I'm rich. Right? And then how can you balance this by, well, I am rich, but I'm still, you know, sinner, right? This is the whole contrast that is beautiful. But the core and the essence of that is, as we'll talk about, as John talks about it here, is that knowledge. Is that knowledge? What knowledge and how we can reach that knowledge and, you know, how can we live it, how we can be obedient to that knowledge, that what we will all talk about. Okay, Todd, just gonna give that foundation first before we move on. With more and more of the study itself, but read it, you know, 5 chapters. You can read it more and more and more and more. Study it on your own. Use whatever there. Just kind of come prepared, because it's something that's definitely a very, very beautiful and very rich and very helpful in clarifying certain things and certain mindset of our relationship with God and with each other, as we said also, because if we're talking about love, you know, that kind of love, then it has to be on that level also, right? Otherwise we're going to totally do two different directions that will never get close to each other. Questions?
There is a point, an important point, Abuna.
Yes.
In the last century, in the end of the last first century, there was some heretic, which is Gnosis. And for this heretic, John wrote this letter. Because one aspect of this heretic is that we can worship God with our spirit, but we can do whatever we want with our body. And for this, he concentrated, focused on forbidding of sin. And also there are one aspect of Gnosis that we can know God through knowledge only, through knowledge, okay. which the term Gnosis comes from knowledge.
Knowledge.
And so he focused also that we will know him through his commandments, not but, And also one aspect of gnosis is that we have not to sin whatsoever. But he is, focused also in the first and second chapter that we are liable to sin, and we have the privilege that we confess and turn back.
Definitely, yes. That's why that knowledge is very, very important, as we said, because that knowledge that, you know, defines and refutes the idea of different kind of knowledges that people were trying to, and which is still till now, kind of like, okay, you can know God in different ways, different things. We kind of touched on this also when we talked about First Peter and the idea of that the two extremes of the Gnosticism, you know, body is bad, or body is body, and you can do whatever you want. The body doesn't matter. What's important is the spirit and what you do with your, yeah, definitely, definitely. Something.
Abuna? I'm sorry, Abuna.
That's fine.
So my brother, Samir, I think you pronounced with the Greek, gnos. And like in the English, you hear Gnostic. Gnostic or, Gnosticism, which, yeah, I agree. It's the main thing is salvation is through knowledge. The emphasis is on knowledge rather than, you know, faith and grace, so forth.
Yes, and not the transforming knowledge, not the knowledge of the heart, but just the intellectual knowledge and trying to understand things from just a very earthly view. Yes. And we'll talk about this more and more as we get in more details about in the text. Got one. Very good. Any other points or thoughts? All right. Wonderful. Then we shall continue. Thank you all. Let's pray, and then we'll continue next time. In the name of the Father, and Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Yes, we say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Give us this day, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. May the love of God the Father, the grace of His only begotten Son, the communion of the Holy Spirit with you, go in peace. Peace be with you all. Amen. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks, everybody.